A production of SDPB, South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The House Commerce Committee to order. I'd like to welcome everybody here today, and I'd also like to welcome those that are listening over the internet. I'd like to again remind everybody to please shut off your cell phones or your sound in your computers, anything that would make a disruption in the meeting. This time I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Secretary Blake?
Yes.
Representative Fargin?
Here.
Greenfield?
Here.
Jensen?
Here.
Kirschman?
Here.
Krebs?
Here.
Nostrup?
Here.
Nygaard?
Here.
Pitts?
Here.
Solberg?
Here.
Solem?
Here.
Dreyer?
Here.
And Rounds?
Here. We do have a quorum. I'm sure everybody has read the minutes from our previous meeting. Are there any comments, discussion, or action on the minutes?
Move approval.
Motion by Representative Pitts to approve the minutes, seconded by Representative Krebs. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Before we get started today, we do have a couple of members here today who were unable to be here last Friday. They had some other things going on that they had to leave town early. I think they're both sitting to my right up here. Representative Krebs, could you identify yourself? Tell us where you're all from.
Representative Krebs, District 10, Sioux Falls. The metropolis of Renner is where I live. So that's the actual urban area, and then Sioux Falls is the suburb of Renner.
And Representative Nygaard?
Yes, I'm from District 17, and I live in the megagopolis of Vermilion, South Dakota, and represent Turner and Clay County.
Thank you. This morning with us, we do have, I see one page here. Would you stand up and please identify yourself? Tell us where you're from.
Matt
Miller. Well, welcome, Matt. I think we had another one in here that... Lindsay got sent out on an errand. And I do not see my intern here right now, unless he's hiding. Alex Gosh is our intern. Again, I will remind the members of the committee that he is assigned to the chairman of this committee, which I take it to be he's also assigned to the committee. If you have some information you want to gather or a project you need help with, keep our intern busy. His one of his jobs will be that at the end of any piece of legislation that we do pass out of this committee, whether it be a consent calendar or a debate calendar bill, an agency bill specifically, one of you members will be assigned the task of taking responsibility for that bill on the floor. And then within the respective caucuses, if I give the bill to carry on the floor to somebody from the Democrat side, I'll have somebody from the Republican side be responsible to explain it in caucus and vice versa. And then his job will be to get the, I call him a cheat sheet, but the talking points. His job will get the talking points to you, make sure you've got them, and to make sure I have a copy also, so in case there's some questions that we need to discuss. So if you need talking points, you can work with him or work with the individual from the agency. Friday, we do have quite a few bills that were pretty much pre-filed. Today, we're going to get rid of a lot of them. The first four are bills that, if you see on the agenda, I have them noted that these bills are for committee referral. We did three of them last week. They went to Retirement Laws Committee. This morning, we are going to send four of them to taxation. The Commerce Committee deals specifically with policy, and these bills were brought by the Department of Revenue for the purpose of, and were brought to the committee, were supposed to be taken to the Committee on Taxation at the request of the Department of Revenue. And in reading the bills, I think that they belong in the Taxation Committee because they do deal more with the taxation side of the department. So the first bill up today, well, before I get there, Friday, we're going to probably carry four bills on Friday. I'm not going to have that heavy of a load, being it is Friday and we'll start session early. Today, I'd like to get through as much as I can, and I'll have the agenda for Friday posted this afternoon. First bill up on today's agenda is House Bill 1008. This is an act to provide that the uniform administration of certain state taxes may apply to the telecommunications gross receipts tax. I would like to have this bill referred to the House Taxation Committee. Could I have a motion to refer this?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nygaard.
I so move.
Motion by Representative Nygaard to refer House Bill 1008 to the committee, House Committee on Taxation. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Blake.
Aye.
Bargeon.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Hitz.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye. House Bill 1008 will be referred to the House Taxation Committee. I don't think we need anybody to carry it over there, so I will not assign it. Next up on the agenda is House Bill 1009, an act to require certain tax refund claims for construction projects and certain documents and records in support of tax refund claims for construction projects to be filed within certain time periods. Again, I would like to have this bill moved over to House Taxation. Is there a motion to do so?
So moved.
Motion by Representative Dreyer to move House Bill 1009 to Taxation.
Second.
Seconded by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor will signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Blake.
Aye.
Bargeon.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Hitz.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Browns.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1009 will be moved to House Taxation Committee. Third bill on our agenda is House Bill 1010, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the imposition of sales and use tax on telecommunication services and ancillary services. Again, this bill here I would like to have moved to House Taxation. Is there a motion to do so?
So moved.
Motion by Representative Greenfield, seconded by Representative Pitts. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Blake.
Aye.
Bargeon.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Hitz.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Browns.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1010 will be moved to House Taxation Committee. And the fourth on the agenda is House Bill 1011, an act to revise restrictions on the assignment and transfer of certain tax refund permits and refund claims. The chair would like to have this bill also moved to House Taxation. Okay. Representative Blake, would you like to move this one?
So moved.
Motion by Representative Blake, seconded by Representative Krebs. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Blake.
Aye.
Bargeon.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Hitz.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Browns.
Aye.
13-0.
And that bill will be moved to House Taxation Committee. Thank you for your indulgence on those four. Next up on the agenda will be the first one that we'll actually have testimony on today is House Bill 1018. House Bill 1018 is brought to us by the Office of Secretary of State. It is an act to require a portion of the annual report filing fee paid by certain entities to be deposited in the financing statement and annual report filing fee fund. This time I will hear proponent testimony on House Bill 1018.
Can I ask that we hold off on that one because the Secretary wants to be here and he's at another committee? Can we push it down the agenda a little bit?
The chair will move House Bill 1018 to follow. How long will he be? 15, 20?
I would say probably 15 minutes.
We'll have House Bill 1018 follow House Bill 1047. So it'll be the third bill up on the agenda today. Next up on the agenda is House Bill 1047. This is a bill brought to us by the Department of Tourism and State Development. It's an act to increase the membership of the Board of Directors of the Economic Development Finance Authority. This time the chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1047.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representatives, Mike Youngberg from the Governor's Office of Economic Development, underneath the Department of Tourism and State Development. I'm the finance manager at GOED, charged primarily with overseeing the loan programs, managing loan programs, and those staff that handle them. Here to discuss in favor of the bill today. The Economic Development Finance Authority Board is smaller than other boards that oversee GOED-administered programs. Therefore, we have less input when vetting applications. The Economic Development Finance Authority does make credit decisions on our pooled loan bond program and our agricultural processing and exporting loans program. Over the last 24 months, 2 years, the amount of business, the applications that have been brought forward to both programs has been increasing steadily. By adding two members to the board, we feel it will add more diversity, expertise, and additional input when vetting applications for pooled loan bond programs and APEX loan programs. Also having a larger board more in line with the other boards that GOED does work with. We'll give a little bit more flexibility to schedule additional meetings between monthly meetings when time is critical for borrowers and or applicants. They cannot wait for regularly scheduled meetings. The board does meet once a month, typically every third Thursday. Occasionally, borrowers and applicants need to see the board and hear it more than once a month. So we do occasionally try to accommodate. We always try to accommodate that and occasionally call extra meetings on a monthly more than a monthly basis.
Okay, thank you. Any further proponents to House Bill 1047? Any further proponent testimony? Last call for proponent testimony on House Bill 1047. Hearing none, any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony on House Bill 1047? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions. Any questions of the sponsor? We have a question? Okay. Representative Kirschman. I can't pronounce it without seeing it. Go ahead.
How many members are on the committee right now?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Representative. Currently, there are five members on the Economic Development Finance Authority. Small board, yes. Yep.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nygaard.
Mr. Youngberg. Five members on the committee now, increasing to seven. Are these remunerated positions that you pay for? Is there a cost?
Oh, actually, no, there is no, this board doesn't receive any stipend. There is no stipend for meetings. They're not remunerated. No.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow-up, Representative Nygaard.
So then, who decides who's on the board? And so it's a volunteer board.
Yes.
Selected by who?
The governor makes those selections for the board.
So this bill doesn't increase any cost whatsoever?
No. There's no stipend, and then any travel expenses would be paid out of the general account, so would not increase any cost. We do typically meet via teleconference once a year. There's an annual meeting. Again, that comes out of the EDFA pool of funds, so it doesn't increase any state costs.
Thank you very much.
Additional questions? I do have a question, if I may. Moving from five to seven, has there been a problem with getting a quorum together for this?
Not typically. When they're inter-monthly meetings, when they're between meetings, and we have to give at least a 48-hour notice, and sometimes we do go pretty tight with that because of a borrower's request. Occasionally, we do have all business owners, business people on the board, so occasionally there has been a problem to get an additional or a quorum to that those extra meetings that we call. So,
okay. Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, I'll close it to public testimony and I'll open it up to committee discussion and or action. Mr. Chairman. Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I just want to suggest that this loan program is very valuable to this South Dakota community. A number of years ago, I had one myself as we were beginning business. Over the years, paid that off. I think it's an important thing, and I also recognize the fact that having a small board with increasing applications would cause them a lot more work. So with a couple more people to review these applications, I think it'll be a good measure.
Further discussion on House Bill 1047, discussion and or action. Representative Dreyer.
Move to pass.
Motion Representative Dreyer do pass on 1047, seconded by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion on the motion? Any discussion on the motion do pass on House Bill 1047? Hearing none, all those in favor of do pass on House Bill 1047 will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Blake.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nostrop.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Pitts.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solman.
Solem.
Aye. Dreyer.
Aye.
And Rounds.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1047 will move to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nygaard.
I move to consent.
We have a motion consent. Representative Nygaard, seconded by Representative Dreyer. Any discussion on the consent motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. House Bill 1047 will move to the floor on the consent calendar. And the chair is going to have Representative Jensen, you'll be responsible for questions on this one. In case questions are asked, I'll be there to back you up with them. But next bill up on today's agenda is House Bill 1027. This is brought to us at the request of the Department of Revenue and Regulation, an act to provide for certain employer insurance assistance programs. At this time, the chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1027.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. I'd like to provide just a little bit of background on this. For those of you that followed the developments a couple years ago with health care and health insurance, there was a governor appointed a task force called the Zinnia Task Force. Legislation was passed. The task force met and made a number of recommendations regarding health insurance and the availability and access of health insurance. And one of those recommendations was to develop an employer assistance program. The governor asked that be taken on by the Health Care Commission, and a subcommittee was appointed from the Health Care Commission to try and work on this to come up with some specific recommendations as far as how to carry that out. What you see with 1027 is one of the four recommendations that came out of the subcommittee for providing some employer assistance. What this bill is trying to do is to allow some assistance from insurance agents, insurance companies, to employers with their insurance. We do have a long-standing law in the books dealing with rebating. It's always been illegal to rebate insurance premiums, and the rebating law is written very broadly. And we've had a number of questions from agencies and companies as far as, well, we'd like to provide some, you know, assistance to employers. It's not in the insurance policy, but some assistance associated with the insurance. But we don't want to get in trouble with the rebating law. And there was always a question and concerns of what they could and could not do. What this legislation is designed to do is to make some exceptions to the rebating statute to allow insurance agents and insurance companies to provide insurance-related assistance to employers. We decided not to make it just to health insurance. It covers other lines of insurance as well. For instance, there's been some questions from crop insurance agents on what kinds of services they could provide to clients. What did want to make clear, and the legislation does make clear, is that cash payments, under-the-table kinds of payments, continue to be disallowed. We don't want that. What we're saying is insurance-related services can be provided. And let me give you a couple examples of the things that have been talked about. We had an agency approach us and say, you know, one of the services we'd like to offer is to our clients, business clients, is that small employers have tough time trying to deal with COBRA administration. Not all insurance companies automatically provide assistance with COBRA administration. We'd like to provide that service at no cost. That was another example was wellness programs. We'd like to help an employer establish a wellness program. And those are the kinds of things that we want to allow with this legislation, some legitimate insurance-related services that help businesses keep and obtain insurance. And that's really what this legislation is about. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1027. Proponent testimony. Any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, I will open it up to opponent testimony. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1027? Any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions. Are there any questions of the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Blake.
Mr. Moses, currently, is the employer trying to do that?
It's really what the insurance agents and insurance companies want to provide to employers. And so these services like COBRA administration is something the employers would have to do on their own or else go out and purchase. This would allow the insurance agent, for instance, to come in and say, hey, I'll take care of that for you. That's one thing, Mr. Employer, you won't have to do for. Well, if you do business with us, we will take care of that for you.
Follow up?
Yes, can I ask then, do you do that for the company, or are you doing that individually per employee that wants that service?
Mr. Chairman, it would depend on the nature of the program. For instance, with COBRA administration, that would be a service for the employer rather than the employee, although the employees would benefit by having the COBRA administered in a professional manner, because then they would get the proper notices and be able to elect their coverage if they wanted to. But there could be situations like with a wellness program. Some employees may want to elect individually, some may not. So there may be some individual decisions made by employees with respect to one of those programs.
Further questions? Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Randy, has there been a history of some paybacks, kickbacks, and that's why this law is being very clear that it continues to specify that that's illegal?
Representative Nygaard, I've been around the insurance business since the early 80s, and it was a problem then, and it hasn't gone away.
Thank you.
Further questions of the committee? Any further questions? Seeing none, I'll close it to public testimony, and I'll open it up to committee discussion and or action. Any action or discussion, Representative Dreyer?
Move to pass.
We have a motion by Representative Dreyer to pass, seconded by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. All those in favor of do pass motion on House Bill 1027 will signify by saying aye. Those opposed will say nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Blake.
Aye.
Fargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Pitts.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1027 will move to the floor with the do pass motion. We have a motion consent, Representative Dreyer, seconded by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion on the consent motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1027 will move to the floor and be placed on a consent calendar. Representative Blake, would you be responsible for questions on this bill when it gets to the floor?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And Representative Solem, could you carry this one in the Republican caucus when we meet, discuss this one?
Be happy to.
Thank you. And we will move back up the agenda. I see Mr. Secretary is here, comfortable in his chair. At this time, we will hear testimony on House Bill 1018. This is brought to us at the request of the Office of Secretary of State. It's an act to require a portion of the annual report filing fee paid by certain entities to be deposited in the financing statement and annual report filing fee fund. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1018.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Chris Nelson, Secretary of State. House Bill 1018 is the solution to an ever-increasing problem that we are dealing with in the area of filing corporation annual reports. And I want to give you a couple different pictures of what the problem looks like. And the first picture is how it looks like to the 56,000 profit and nonprofit corporations that file these reports every year. We are requiring those businesses and nonprofits to file these reports using 1980s technology. We mail out a paper form to them. They fill it out by longhand or typewriter. They mail that paper form back into us along with their check. If there are problems with the form or with the fee, we have to send it back, and they send it back into us. And you can understand the inefficiency of the system that we are using to file those 56,000 reports every year. There's no place in today's modern business environment for the way that those annual reports are being handled. And I believe it's a responsibility of this state to provide our businesses and our nonprofit corporations a better way of filing those necessary documents. I'd also like to show you what this looks like from my perspective as the Secretary of State, the office responsible for that. Mr. Chairman, I have two charts. If I could have a page, perhaps hand these out. The first chart, the one that's being handed around from this side that has the bars on it, shows the volume of corporate annual report filings, and this includes nonprofits and LLCs and LLPs, all of the different entities that file annual reports, showing the volume of those reports being filed beginning in 1991 through what we project in FY 2010. And as you'll see, it's a pretty straight line increase. We've increased the number that have filed by 133% since 1991. And it's a trend that doesn't show any sign of stopping. The second chart that's being passed out is the Secretary of State's non-federal FTE allocation since 1991, and as you can see, that allocation has decreased over the years. Now, I want to be very clear. As you look at both of these charts independently, they show very, very good trends. But when you combine these two charts, all of a sudden you realize that there becomes a point that the two of them don't mix and the system simply doesn't work anymore from an office management perspective. And frankly, we're at that point. We're not able to efficiently handle the volume of these paper filings coming into the office. As a reference for you, in the corporate department in my office, we have five individuals that are tasked with filing all of these annual reports, filing all the new corporations that come in, the amendments to corporations, doing good standing requests, copy requests, handling over 100 phone calls a day, all of the business with filing these corporations and business entities. We have five people. In North Dakota, similar size state, they have nine people plus temporaries. And so our folks do a very, very efficient job of the tasks that they are given, but they're at a point where the paper filing mechanism is not working. If I might ask Bev Wilson, who is my corporate supervisor, to come in with, and I want to just give you a visual of this is yesterday's, one day's worth of corporate annual reports that come in. And realizing, again, we've got five individuals that handle not only this, but all of the new corporations and everything else that goes on to make sure that that operation works well within our office. And I wanted to show you that so you understand what our folks are dealing with and what we want to try to change with this particular system. The bill, House Bill 1018, what we are asking for is that of the fee that is already being paid by these corporations and other entities, that for the next 2 years we be allowed to keep $3 of each of those filing report fees, and at the end of those 2 years to keep $1 of each filing report fee to go into a system to develop an electronic online system for filing corporate annual reports. The system we envision is a system that many other states already use, but it allows the folks that are filing these reports to go onto a website to quickly and easily fill out their report, and frankly, we'll be able to pre-populate their report, and they can simply make any changes that are needed, and they'll be able to quickly and easily file that report using their credit card, or if they're a lawyer's office, perhaps a prepaid account to already file those. The image then that is generated from that electronic filing would be immediately available to the public on our website. The money that comes in through the filing would be immediately deposited in the state general fund. We would reduce postage and printing expenses of sending things out and sending things back. We will eliminate any need for me to come and request additional FTE, which is not the right answer to solving this problem. And the last thing I'd like to say is it would certainly be optional for corporate filers. We're not going to require anybody to do it electronically. There are some that wouldn't want to do that, but certainly make that as an option, and we think it will be readily accepted. The fund that we suggest putting this money into is a fund that already exists that we used successfully for developing the system to electronically file Uniform Commercial Code lien documents. That system was developed several years ago, and today 75 to 85% of those liens are filed electronically. It works, and so we want to use that same fund. Lest you have any fear about the Secretary of State accumulating a large amount of money in that fund, the law already requires that at the end of the fiscal year, any monies over $25,000 in that fund automatically revert to the state general fund, and so the money goes away. A couple of important points as I close. First of all, these 56,000 entities are currently helping to fund state government through their corporate filing fees. They are helping to fund the government that you and I have a responsibility for operating. Since 1991, those corporate entities have contributed $33 million to the state general fund to help fund state government. Over the next 2 years, it's projected they will contribute another $7.5 million to fund state government. The governor has a bill, House Bill 1069, in which he is going to ask to raise many of those corporation fees, asking those businesses and entities to increase the amount of money that they're giving to fund state government. I believe that it is our responsibility that in turn for that money that businesses and nonprofits are paying into state government, that we owe them a modern and efficient filing system for the paperwork that they are submitting to state government. I think that's only fair, since they are the ones that are paying the bill. I will tell you that in the governor's budget, he has, and in House Bill 1069, where he's asking for these increased fees, he has made the allocation for the $3 that we're asking for, and so that has been taken care of with House Bill 1069 and with the budget that's going to be coming out. Again, we owe the people that are paying to fund state government a modern, efficient system. It would be my privilege to develop that system and make it reality, but I need your help by the passage of this bill, and I ask for your support, and I'd be happy to answer any questions when it's appropriate, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. This time we'll ask for any additional proponent testimony. Before we move on to questions, any additional proponent testimony?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Matt McCauley. I'm a lawyer in Sioux Falls. I'm also a registered lobbyist, but I appear before you here this morning as a citizen, resident, elector, taxpayer, and someone who interfaces with the Secretary of State's office quite frequently. My law practice involves a lot of business transactional work, a lot of corporate entities, LLCs, that sort of thing. And a lot of my clients are qualified to do business in other states as well. And first of all, I just want to, just big picture perspective, just say what I think what a fantastic job the Secretary of State and the staff does. If you have a chance to visit the corporate division of the Secretary of State, it's in the lower level of this building, to the cafeteria. As you walk down the stairs, if you just kind of keep going around the hallway, look for the big heating ducts, and you'll see some cramped offices where they work and do their job. And they are very, very efficient. When you look at a pile of annual reports and checks like this, it's a lot of just routine tasks that I think are ripe for automation. Other states have very similar systems where my clients are registered to do business. And in many cases, my secretary will receive an email notification rather than a letter sent from the appropriate Secretary of State. which just says, dear law firm, your client's registration is now up for renewal. Click here to renew, and you click, and you put in a credit card number, and you hit submit, and nobody has to touch that. And so really what I see the annual reports as being really serving a twofold purpose. One, revenue for the state, but number two, also to get current information with the Secretary of State about that corporation or that entity. And so I think this is it's a fantastic idea. It's an idea whose time has come, and it will keep us on pace with the other secretaries of states and surrounding states and other states across this country in keeping things modern and business moving quickly. With that, Mr. Chairman, I thank you for your time, and committee, thank you as well.
Thank you, Mr. McCulley. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1018. Any additional proponents? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1018? Are there any opponents on House Bill 1018? Seeing none, I will open it up to committee questions. Mr. Secretary, I can start off with a question here. One question I do have is not including any additional legislation that is proposed, that may be passed, not passed. These dollars come out of the existing fees that they're paying now, as opposed to the money going elsewhere in the general fund.
That is correct. Let me be very clear. Every dollar that comes in through annual report filing fees today goes directly into the general fund. And so what we are asking for is that we designate three of those dollars for each report as an other fund, as opposed to general fund, and it would then go into the general fund. House Bill 1069 raises the corporate filing fees and accounts for this particular request.
Any additional questions? Representative Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Secretary, just refresh our memory for myself having an LLP and then refiling to an LLC for both of my businesses. I've had the mistake happen where you guys have had to send that back to me and I've had to redo that. Just refresh for the public to know what a corporation or a business owner has to file. I mean, it seemed like a lot, but it is, and I think a lot of people need to know what businesses do pay into the general fund on individual basis.
Thank you. The filing fees currently for a nonprofit corporate annual report, $10 a year. For a corporate annual report, $30 a year, and for an LLC annual report, it's $50 a year is the current filing fee. And, of course, the purpose of filing these annual reports is so that we have current information as to the registered agent and contact for that corporation should any legal action need to be commenced against the corporation. All of the reports that are filed with us, all of our corporate documents are imaged, and those images are on our website. You can search those free of charge. That's one of the advancements we have been able to make with our existing budget. And so we make these available to the public as quickly as we can in that fashion.
Further questions? Representative Solberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hypothetically, if those fees are not passed, those $3 increases, how would that affect this bill?
Mr. Secretary.
Thank you. If House Bill 1069, the fee increase bill, does not pass, it would not affect this bill, but the net effect is that the $3 that we are asking for here, as opposed to it going into the general fund, would go into the other fund to pay for the development of this system.
Follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So then we would be shorting the general fund, those $3 per report then.
That would, in fact, be the case if 1069 doesn't pass. And that's one of the reasons we were very insistent in working with the governor's office and budget and finance that when they put 1069 together that there was money designated specifically in that bill to go to this other fund as opposed to the general fund, and so it's accounted for at that point.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary. It sounds to me the fees of $30, $20, and in one case $50 are relatively low in comparison with other states. Could you comment on that and what
Mr. Secretary?
That is correct. You know, states are really all over the board in their annual report filing fees, but in the governor's bill, 1069, he is asking to increase those $30 fees to $50, and that is certainly not going to be out of line with what other states are charging by any means.
Further questions? Representative Pitts?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Mr. Secretary? Mr. Secretary, on the third page where you talk about the $3 and the $1, does that $2 over the 2 years, 2010-2011, does that cover the cost of the software type of package then?
Mr. Secretary?
If I might, yes. The $3 for the next two fiscal years will go for software development. This will be a system that we will develop from scratch, a system that will obviously be a website, but so that as the information is gathered, it can be integrated into our current corporate databases and imaging system. And so it will be a custom piece of software. That $3 will pay for that. And it will also pay for, there's going to be obviously some credit card fees that we're going to incur because most of these transactions will be done by credit card. And so we're going to need some money to pay for those fees. The $1 that we are suggesting continue after the initial development will be for maintenance of the system and those ongoing credit card fees.
Follow up? Further questions? Representative Brock Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Nelson, what is the current balance in the financing statement filing fee fund?
The last I saw was $18,000. Is that, and that was at the end of last month?
A week ago,
$18,000.
And what is the cost to implement the software that you're going to be working on over the next couple of years?
That's the best question, and I can't give you a firm answer because we're in the development stage at this point, but my best guess is probably somewhere in the $250,000 to $300,000 range.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions of the committee? Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and I will now close it to public testimony and open it up to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nygaard.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that the Secretary could not have done a better job of graphically portraying the need. I've had experience in other states with the online registration annually of the fees. It works very well. I can see that it saves money. However, the credit card situation does create friction in terms of revenues for the Secretary of State's office, which hopefully would be corrected by an increase in fees in a subsequent bill. With that being said, I would move to pass.
The motion is out of line, out of order. Further discussion and or action?
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair.
Representative Pitts.
I would move due pass on House Bill 1018.
We have a motion due pass by Representative Pitts, seconded by Representative Nygaard. Any discussion on the due pass motion? Any discussion? Seeing none, I'm going to, before I call the vote, I do believe that the Secretary is proposing a program here that I think is well or badly needed and probably a little late in when we should have had it. We are moving into the next stage, you know, 2010s here really quick. It won't even be up by then probably, and other states have been doing this for 6, 7, 8, 10 years by now. I think in the long run, it's going to save our department, our Secretary of State's office some money. It's going to streamline. We don't know yet on the fee increases. That is going to be a subject for a different debate. But I do know in the long run, it's going to have a lot of benefit for the state. So I will urge the committee members to pass on this bill. This time, all those in favor of due pass on House Bill 1018 will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Blake.
Aye.
Vargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Pitts.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1018 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The chair is going to request that this bill be kept off the consent calendar. And I am having Representative Krebs will carry this floor on the floor. before we get going, I would like to recognize, I think it's Miller Day here in the state capitol. We have some people from Miller here. Put some little gifts on your desk this morning. People from Miller, if you want to stand up and just wave at us. And we thank you for being here and showing your appreciation to us. Thank you. Next bill up on our agenda today is House Bill 1029. House Bill 1029 is brought to us at the request of the Department of Revenue and Regulation. It's an act to modify the requirements for a filing of a consent rate for property and casualty insurance. This time the chair will ask for a proponent testimony on House Bill 1029. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I'm Roland Shriver, the Division of Insurance. This is one of those bills that we referred to when we did an introductory to the committee, I think it was last week, in which we talk about updating and other actions that are dealing with outdated statutes, and this is one of them, in which we're to keep in mind what we're trying to deal here with is just the time frame, not necessarily anything to do with the actual consent to rate process other than the time frame. Consent to rate is a process whereby an insured can agree to a higher property casualty premium than has been filed with the Division of Insurance for that particular insurance company. These requests are made in order to have access to coverage that may not otherwise be available or only available in the surplus lines market or at a higher price. Current law requires that such request be filed with the Division of Insurance 30 days prior to the effective date of the applicable coverage. This bill will delete the requirement that consent rate requests be filed 30 days ahead of time. The 30-day requirement makes it difficult for the market to effectively use the consent rate process as applications for coverage are frequently under consideration much closer to the effective date than 30 days. Furthermore, there is no extra time needed in order for the Division of Insurance to process this request, as we usually get these done within a day or so. And if I may, an example probably is in best order that will help you. Let's say an insurance entity comes to you and wants a work comp coverage. Okay, the insurance company says, well, you know, I don't really want to use the filed rate of $3 or whatever. So they say, but, you know, if my loss development says it could be $4, I would write it at $4. Well, they can do that and consent to rate filed with the Division of Insurance. Currently, there's a 30-day waiting period. We don't want that 30-day waiting period. It holds back the employer getting a applicable rate better, better than like the assigned risk or something like that. So with that, I'll stand by for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1029? Any additional proponent testimony? Seeing no additional proponent testimony, I'll open it up to opponent testimony on House Bill 1029. Any opponent testimony? Seeing no opponent testimony, I'll open it up to committee questions. Any questions of the committee? Everybody understands this bill? Front, back, sideways?
No. Apologize for my cold and losing my voice.
Seeing no questions of the committee, I'm going to close it to public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Dreyer.
Move to pass.
We have a motion, Representative Dreyer, do pass, seconded by Representative Greenfield. Any discussion on the motion? Sure. Seeing no discussion on the motion, all those in favor of do pass on House Bill 1029 will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, we'll call the roll.
Blake. Aye. Bargeon.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Pitts.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Browns.
Aye.
13-0.
House Bill 1029 will move to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move consent.
We have a motion, Representative Greenfield, on consent, seconded by Representative Dreyer. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor of consent for House Bill 1029 will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1029 will move to the floor on the consent calendar. And just for purposes of discussion here, as I assign these out to carry or answer questions, if they're on consent, your responsibility will be to discuss this in your caucus, but you'll also be responsible for any questions on the floor. So I'm trying to pick out members of our committee that are rather new, so they have a little bit of experience now in being responsible for a bill. Representative Bargeon, would you be responsible for answering questions on the floor on this? Thank you. We shall now move on to House Bill 1030. House Bill 1030 is again brought to us by the Department of Revenue and Regulation, an act to repeal certain requirements for the filing of an annual actuarial certifications. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1030. Welcome back, Mr. Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. House Bill 1030 alters the requirements that we have currently in place for the filing of an actuarial certification. What the actuarial certification was designed to do was to have some sort of testing that the insurance company's rating band are in compliance with the laws. With health insurance, there's a maximum differential between the highest and lowest rate so that those with health conditions don't get priced out of the market. And as a mechanism for compliance, these certifications were being filed with our office. Quite frankly, they're of no use to our office. There are one or two sentence certification from an actuary saying, hey, our rates are good. The only way we can really realistically determine whether or not an insurance company is in compliance is doing an in-depth review of their whole entire rate process. We simply just get these certifications and put them in a drawer, so we're really making insurance companies go through the time and expense of making a filing on a document we're not really looking at and we really don't have any use for. So what this bill does is gets rid of the requirement to file these certifications with our office, but does still maintain the requirement that they have their records on file. So if we want to do a real in-depth review and actually determine whether or not they're in compliance, we can do so. That's really what the bill is designed to do, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. Any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1030? Any additional proponents? Seeing none, I will open it up to opponent testimony on House Bill 1030. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1030? Seeing none, I will open it up to committee questions on this simple bill. Representative Pitts, did you have a question?
Just a comment that it's nice to see something being out or taken away from somebody having to file. I think that's a nice thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nygaard.
I have a question for Mr. Moser. Mr. Moser, in your testimony, it sounded like this filing that's been going on pursuant to 581766 through 581787, some 21 sections, boil down to one or two sentences that are superfluous or useless. They were in fact, though, a statement, a public statement of what the rate would be in certain instances, that the actuarial data. If you take that thought a little bit further for me and give me a better view of what it is that we're no longer going to require to be made public.
Mr. Moses?
Certainly. It's not a matter of, Representative Nygaard, not a matter of making anything less public. It's just that the actual certification document itself would no longer be filed with our office, and we quite frankly aren't going to require a certification at all. The certification, maybe I didn't do a good enough job explaining what it is, an actuary for the insurance company is just going to send us a letter. It's going to be a two or three sentence thing saying, I hereby certify that the rates for XYZ company are in compliance with statutes X through Y, and that period, and that's all it's going to say. And it's like, and it's really, like I said, of not much use. So why make them go through the time and expense of first of all getting the actuary to do it, and secondly filing with our office? Like I said, we still have the capacity with this legislation to do the kind of review necessary. An insurance company that files its rates with our office, you know, because they have to do it like for individual products, they do have to have their rates approved with our office. And those rates that are on file and approved still are open for public inspection.
Follow up.
No, thank you, Andy.
Further questions? Any further questions of the committee? Seeing none, I will close it to public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move do pass.
We have a motion by Representative Greenfield do pass, seconded by Representative Krebs. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of House Bill 1030 will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Blake.
Aye.
Pargin.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Pitts.
Aye.
Solberg.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Dreyer.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
13-0 passed.
House Bill 1030 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenfield.
Move consent.
We have a motion, Representative Greenfield, consent, seconded by Representative Krebs. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of consent for House Bill 1030 will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1030 will move to the House floor with a due pass recommendation and placed on the consent calendar. And Representative Solberg, would you be responsible for any questions on the floor?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And our last bill on the calendar today, or book, should I say. I'm sure everybody read this one. House Bill 1050, brought to us by the Department of Revenue and Regulation. It's an act to revise the annual financial reporting requirements of insurance companies. At this time, the chair will ask for a proponent testimony on House Bill 1050. And welcome back, Mr. Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. House Bill 1050 really tries to accomplish two things, and they're both very important. One is to strengthen our financial oversight of insurance companies. I think in today's economic times, I think adequate financial oversight is all the more important. We want to make sure the insurance companies have the money to pay claims on their policies. But secondarily, this comes out of a National Association of Insurance Commissioners accreditation program. And let me explain a little bit what we mean by accreditation. Each state, if they want to be accredited, has to have certain standards in place for the financial regulation of insurance companies. Our domestic insurance companies, if we are not an accredited state, any other state that they're licensed in, those states can come in, do costly examinations on them. This is really a costly thing for them if, in fact, South Dakota is not accredited, because if we're accredited, those other states have to accept our examinations, and they would not be coming in and do separate examinations. They would accept our examination as legitimate. The NAIC updated its financial standards. That's what this bill is all about. It follows it right to the T. The insurance industry is well aware of these new financial solvency requirements, are fine with going forward with these, provided that we follow the NAIC model. They don't want us to go off on our own and have one separate standard for South Dakota and some separate financial standards in other states. That's the only concern that's been expressed to us, and we have tried our best to make sure that this, in fact, reads right down the line as far as what's in the NAIC model. LRC, of course, did make some form and style changes, but that's to be expected. But there were no substantive changes. This does follow the NAIC model, and I believe on that basis we'll comply with the NAIC requirements. Just a couple of high points as far as this legislation. I won't go through it piece by piece. It is rather lengthy and difficult bill. But we are strengthening the financial regulation by requiring that annual audits of financial statements be done by independent CPAs. Want to make sure that gets accomplished. Insurance companies then also are going to have to appoint an audit committee that's responsible from the board of directors, that's responsible for the oversight and selection of these CPAs to make sure that they, in fact, are independent and can adequately do their job. Some of the larger insurers have a little extra requirement. Those with a $300 million or more will have to have 50% of the board independent as far as the selection of this audit committee, and then the threshold goes up to 75% for those at $500 million. So what we're seeing is some increased oversight on the audits, and to help, like I said, ensure that the companies are, in fact, financially viable. With that, we'll stand by for questions. I would hope that it would be okay if we have some real technical questions. I have our financial guru, Wendell Molson, back here to help out on that regard.
Thank you, Mr. Moses. And I do have, before you jump up, I'm looking here, and this is, I guess, a point of reference. I'm looking at a bill that's 25 pages, and most of it is new sections, lines drawn out, amendments to existing statute. And I think with the new people here that are sitting in committee, a bill this long, I'm kind of thinking we should have had some sort of a cheat sheet or talking points delivered to us, because there's a lot of information in here that I'm sure, as everybody read this bill last night, I know being around for a few years, I kind of understood as I was going on this, but we have a lot of new members here who are, I think, a little bit lost on this piece of legislation. I'm wondering if you do have some sort of a cheat sheet of some sort that they can help, maybe in future references, help us follow along on such a long bill.
I think that's a good point, Mr. Chairman. And in fact, we do have a bill brief that goes by section. I need to clean it up a little bit, but I can get a clean copy to everyone by this afternoon if that's acceptable.
Okay, because I think a number of the committee members here, as I look around, are absorbing a lot of information. We got some model legislation looking at us here, and they need something to follow as they're going through this, and I don't know if I feel comfortable in asking them to move this to the floor until they understand it. Representative Nygaard, you've got a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to make a motion that we would move it to Friday's calendar if you could, and give us time to study this more in depth.
Well, the chair can delay action or defer this until the next meeting. And I'm looking around the committee here, and I'm seeing some nods up and down. Some of you kind of seem it's a lot of material that we've got to absorb in a short period of time. I could give us a few minutes to sit back and recess and read it, but I think the members need some time to really look through a section-by-section breakdown, and then they'll be able to ask questions, because, like I said, a 25-page bill is a lot of material to absorb without prior knowledge to this type of legislation. I think, in looking around the committee here, I would like to defer further testimony, defer final action on this bill until Friday. Would that be, I think the bills that we've got coming up are going to involve your division, your some of your bills anyhow.
Yes, Representative Browns, I'd certainly be glad to provide a bill brief, like I said, clean this one out, provide it to everybody this afternoon, and we'd be glad to come back Friday and pick this bill up again then, if that's what the desire of the committee
is. The chair is going to defer further action on this bill until Friday, and that will be below the line on your agenda, but we'll probably take it up first on Friday. And if you could provide that information to the committee members this afternoon, then the committee members can ask, can contact you maybe tomorrow or Friday before with questions. More than likely, there won't be a whole lot of questions, but I think an understanding of the legislation here in front of us would be in order.
Be glad to.
Thank you. Representative Pitts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I just ask one question?
You may ask a question.
I certainly agree with you, because as I went through here, there were so many new sections that I didn't have a concept of where it came from. Just a question as we read the brief. What precipitated this again? Now, what I heard you say is that other states are doing it, so insurance companies coming in want to be able to not have to go through another state review process. So just a question on why we wouldn't have done that years ago or something.
What you're seeing is the revised financial model at the NEIC level. They recently made some changes at that level, which is the accreditation standards. And once the new changes for accreditation standards took effect at the NEIC level, that's what precipitated the states like South Dakota and the other states to go move forward and adopt those new standards. So these are revised standards that we are adopting. They just were fairly recently adopted at the NEIC level.
Thank you.
Any further questions before we refer this bill, before we move on? You're going to have the opportunity to review the talking points and the information he hands out, and then Friday we'll just start back up on this bill with proponent testimony, and that I think you folks needed the opportunity, and I thank you, Mr. Moses, and we'll refer this one or defer it till Friday. Okay. That pretty much takes care of our agenda for the day. Friday, we will be meeting at 10 o'clock, and I will have some more bills from Division of Revenue in front of us, including this last bill. Are there any comments or questions for the good of the committee? Seeing none, I'll entertain that motion. Representative Solberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would it be possible to get a paper copy of that bill? I did not get one, and I had requested paper.
Okay. Where's my intern at? We can catch me afterwards, and we will get paper copies. There's 25 pages here, and it's easier to follow along on the paper when you got such a piece of legislation like this, I think, than on the computer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions or comments concerning the good of the committee? Representative Kirschman.
Are they going to put it on whatever your preference is, we've got to put them on the desks. That's the preference.
Yes, have these put on the desks, please. Thank you. Further comments or questions? Any action?
Mr. Chair,
I move adjournment. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, before we do, we have a motion by Representative. Before I recognize that motion, your books, those that have the black books, leave them here after committee. Leave them all here. I do have a motion now by Representative Krebs to adjourn. We have a second by Representative Pitts. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned, and thank you.